If you'll look over in Matthew 12, we'll go several places this morning. The Lord tells us we'll give account for the words that we say. Matthew 12, verse number 36. Verse number 35, I'll give you time to get there. And what got me thinking about this was this week I was working, finishing up with the students, and I noticed had two young men, one young lady, and she'd always have her computer open and be typing. And, well, you know, they type fast, people get tickled at me. I didn't know you're supposed to text with two fingers, you know, two thumbs or whatever. I guess both thumbs. So I just text like this, you know, try to get my. And the kid said, you know, you might as well call as long as it takes you to text. And I was wondering why by the time I'll get a message sent, if you ever send me a message, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. If you ever text me something, give me a few minutes to get it typed out. Because sometimes people start to text me, are you there? Did you get it? And I'm like, well, I got four or five sentences to answer you already typed out, you know, give me some time. And they say, well, Dad, you know, you're just doing it with one finger. No wonder you can't get it. Then I'll notice, you know, they do this number right here, you know, and it's real fast. And I thought, well, they'll send in messages, and sometimes I'll send a message to somebody, and I haven't even looked away from the phone. They've already answered it. And I'll think, how in the world? I thought they must have that pre-programmed, that answer, you know. But that's just how slow I am. And I guess I just haven't tried to change. I think I got to hold one hand, got to hold the phone with something, you know. But anyway, I'll say that because I could hear her typing. She had a little Apple computer with her. Boy, and she'd just type as quick as she could go. And long about Thursday, she was just typing along. She said, if you're wondering what I've been doing this month, she said, I've been keeping track of what our discussions have been. And I said, you have? She said, yeah, I've been making flashcards with keywords. And she said, I go back and review them. And see, May really starts their internship or whatever. It lasts a year. Some people's 2 years or longer. But with them, it was just a year. So that's just they're out of the classroom after, I guess, 3 years plus. Like most of them, it's 5 or 6 years, but. And so that's the first time they get out, so they're getting out and seeing stuff, so they're typing that up. So I thought, well, she's typing every word I've said. And I thought, boy, I hope I haven't given any wrong information, because, you know, sometimes everybody gets turned around on occasion. I thought, yeah, about December she'll tell somebody, well, I was with, you know, Brian in May, and he said this, you know, and she'll go back and pull it right up, you know. And so, but I thought about that. I thought, you know, the words that we say, they're like flashcards, and that's what she's using them for. Is go back, and if she sees something similar that we talked about in May, or maybe a person or someone that was sick or ill, and we talked about in a certain way they had to treat them, or you know, some kind of special mixture or something, you know, she jotted that down. And I only had one other student I told her that I've ever known do that, and that was probably 6 or 7 years ago, and she did the same. She handwritten everything. She didn't have a little computer like this young lady did, but boy, she was just flying, just going through it. And so as I thought about that, I thought about words that we say just in life. How do people record those? Do they put them in a file somewhere? Is that how they remember them? She remembered, wanted to remember important words. Well, is that what people remember about us? Bitter words that we say, words we say in anger? Or do they remember good things that you may say and may pass along? So I look at that, and I thought about, well, you know, here in Matthew, if you found your place there in chapter 12, verse number 35, says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. In other words, what's in the heart is what you're going to see in a man or a woman during their lifetime or during their days. They can hide it for a while, but you can't hide it forever. Eventually, it's going to come out. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, that's always troubled me. Even before I was saved, I'd think about that. Every idle word that you've said, just in passing, and you're going to have to give an account for it. So, boy, there's a lot to be said about our words, the power of our words, the speech that we have. You know, in Scripture we think of the word conversation, and we've talked about this before, and what that really means is how, I guess, not just speaking with someone, but how we live our lives, that our bodies or our life is a conversation, so to speak, how people watch and see us. But a lot of that is what we say. And it says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt be condemned." And so by what we say. And you got to give an account for every idle word. Now that's over in Matthew, and you can stay there if you want to. I got several places to turn to this morning just to kind of look and write our speech. But turn over to Luke, where I am. You can stay where you are. But I'm going to go to Luke chapter 6. It's not far over there. And just for a verse or two. And I think about that as she typed. And you know, it really made me stop and think. I thought about it from the standpoint, I want to make sure I've given them good advice. I want to make sure I told them, and I think I did for the most part, but again, no one's 100% perfect. But I thought she's been doing that since May the 6th, I guess. May's a short month because graduation, so they don't allow them to start until after they allow the class before them to graduate. So from May the 6th on, she typed out every day little words, key words that she would say, that I would say, or that would come up in conversation. And then she'd go back and review them and think about them, and she would save them. And I think about, you know, what if we did that? What if we listened or held on to every word? You know, kids are that way. You know, they'll hold on to every word. As you get older, I think we tend to forget that, especially now I go back to the texting. You can say something to kids. I'm speaking to my children, not yours or grandchildren, but my children, you can tell them something or mention it to them, and 30 minutes later they'll ask you, you know, it may be something as simple as what's for dinner, and I don't hear anything from them. So, you know, I put some, you know, frozen chicken in the oven and set it on the table. And then 30 minutes later, what's for dinner? Well, I already told you. Well, I don't want chicken. Well, I already mentioned it. Well, that's because they were too busy texting with those thumbs going. So sometimes you don't listen well enough, and we're guilty of that as well. But you wonder if you were to hang on to every word. When, you know, when a child's 2, 3, 4 years old, 5, you get a lot of those questions: why? And I think the reason why is because they're hanging on to every word. They're listening. Remember, Preacher Jack used to say, you know, he could look out as he preached, and the smaller children, he could see sometimes they'd turn their head and look back toward the pulpit. And so that's why he wanted, a lot of times when he preached, he wanted them in the congregation with him. He said that was reason. I know a lot of times moms would carry them out to the nursery, et cetera, but they'd stay sometimes, or maybe they wouldn't stay back in the nursery, and they'd need to stay out here. And he said they'd get upset, and that never bothered him, because what he could tell is in some occasions something caught their attention or their ear. They could hear, and they'd turn. He'd say that would be the power of the Word of God just within itself. He said there's a 3 or 4 year old that even turns her head when Jesus' name is mentioned. And I remember him saying that. And so we look here in Luke and think about what one says, and it comes from the heart. And that's Luke chapter 6, verse number 45, says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So no matter how hard you try, your speech defines you, and it shows or tells who you are. You can stay there. I'm going to turn on over here to, I think it's over in Hebrews. I was going to read just a little bit here out of chapter 12. And chapter 12, about verses number, 14, 15, somewhere in there. What I want to get account to is this gives an account to, is what I was going to say, as to roots of bitterness. You know, I know it's garden time. I know Brother Wayne's got his garden going. I know Brother Jim does. I know several of you probably do. And I think about this, you know, I call them little thistles. I don't know what else you'd call them. But you call it, you say, different types of grass or weeds or whatever in the garden that you want to. But I call those little thistles. They spring up out of the ground, and they're broadleaf, and they go in different directions. If you reach down and try to just pull them up with your bare hands, sometimes you'll get stuck. Like they've got splinters, but they've got sharp, sharp leaves, I guess, on them. They'll stick you. So you kind of got to get around underneath them to pull them up. And they'll usually have deep roots. And they'll usually break off. And what that means, you give them another day or two, and another one pops back in its place. And then before you know, you have one, you have two, then you have three, and you have four. And it's easy to get those coming up in the garden if you don't watch out. I think that's what we're told to look for here in Hebrews 12. And that's one thing the power of words have, things that we say, you know, can cause roots of bitterness. You may say something that some people never forget. It sticks with them. It's hard to live for, hard for them to let it go, hard for them to forgive. You don't want any, thistles or grass in the garden, no roots of bitterness springing up. You want to watch for the weeds. You want to keep your eyes open, not only in your conversation or your speech, but what others may say as well. And I say that, and because, you know, even let's think about this. We've been doing Vacation Bible School here a long time, and as far as I know, we've gotten along. But during the week, it's stressful. People's coming from work. They come here and eat. Then they have, you know, a Vacation Bible School in the evening. A lot of times people don't get back home. Let's say normally they get home, and they're accustomed to getting into bed by 10. It might be 11 or whatever, and then it gets later and gets later and gets later each night. And sometimes people get stressed. That's just not, I just use Vacation Bible School as an example. That can be that way with anything that occurs in life. A sick loved one, even traveling to doctor's appointments, or even if they're local, and it kind of throws you out of your normal routine, so to speak. Puts you behind, or maybe at work you got to take a little bit of time off, but that puts you behind when you get back, etc. And so you have to be cautious sometimes in what we say. What's truly in your heart is truly what you'll hear. And that's what I want to look here at Hebrews. And then we're going to wrap up over in Proverbs. There's 10 verses in Proverbs that Solomon gives us on our speech, our words of wisdom, so to speak. I guess that'd be what you'd call it from Solomon, but the power of words. And as you look here, this is what's referred to a lot of times in this Hebrews chapter 12, especially the end here, is the Esau syndrome. In other words, don't say anything impulsive, or don't do anything impulsive for the short-term gain. And I've heard that preached on before and talked about don't trade off God's eternity or lifelong gift. When I say lifelong, I mean eternal gift, for just a very, I guess, short period of time. In other words, don't try to satisfy a short-term appetite. Don't trade off God's lifelong or eternal gift for a short-term appetite. You know, that goes back. Brother Thurman's requesting prayer for Vacation Bible School this week, and that the kids may be receptive. And I thought about that, and it's the same with adults, and you can just not bring it out kids, but, you know, sometimes children, and adults too, but sometimes children, they won't look at the lifelong picture or even the next week picture or the end of the summer picture, you know, because they're out for summer now. They look at just the next week or the next day rather than, well, why don't you plan out your summer if you do this or that, or why don't you get a job this summer? You'll have X number of dollars saved by the time school starts in August. They don't think that far ahead. And that's what this Esau example syndrome is the way I've heard it preached on before, kind of mentions, is they end up doing something impulsive in their life. And then a week later, or next day, or a year later, or 10 years later, they regret it. And sometimes it's as long as 20, 30 years later, somebody may regret it. And so they what you did, of course, as Esau did, he gave up, of course, God's gift for a short-term appetite. You know, I often use with my own students, too, we'll talk sometimes about, you know, prices of medications are just out the roof. And they'll ask me sometimes why some are cheaper and some are more expensive. And sometimes it gets into, you know, they call it back in the day. Then I really feel old then. That's what they say. Well, back in the day, and I think, boy, y'all are sounding more like my kids. And they'll ask me questions. Now, back in the day, how come, you know, this drug, this, that, and the other? And I would tell them, I'd say, well, the reason why, it was marketing. And the reason why one drug was used over another, it was cost, et cetera. And it's what we went back to. I said, but, you know, now's where we're at, and it really doesn't matter that back in the day. It's living for today. You can't always, you know, you don't go back and reflect on tomorrow and wish for those days, because these are the days that you're here. And I think we do a lot of that as well, too. Here I was going to read here in chapter 12, and I'm going to do that here in just a second. But don't let roots of bitterness spring up. In other words, don't let back in the day spring up and ruin your day today, so to speak. Let me look here just a few places, and then we'll go over to Proverbs, and we'll be done. It says chapter 12, and what verse here was I going to do? I was going to do verse number 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. And again, as you go and read and study that out, some of the references you'll see back to that, back to earlier in Hebrews, but also back into your speech and things that may be said sometimes and maybe rushed. And where if you had time to think about it and do it over, you may not have said that, or you may have said it a different way. I know especially, and every marriage is this way, so I'm not just, it is. There are sometimes things that spouses say back and forth to each other, and it's bound to happen over a period of whether it's 1 year, 5 years, 25, 50, doesn't matter, that later on you apologize for, you go back and say, look, I shouldn't have said that way, or it didn't come out right, or I guess the same way with any family. I said spouses, but same way with children and parents. Things are said that sometimes you wish you could take back or say a different way. But think about that in our lives as we go through our lives with each other as Christians, but also in the workplace. Any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And what I've got into here is a lot more, I guess it's a lot deeper here, and we're not going to continue on, is when we start looking at Esau and the ways of Esau, and again, what he did, he sold out for the temporary. He considered what was sacred as common. And it gets into a whole other discussion when you start talking about Esau. But that's what this bitterness can lead to. And a lot of times that begins with the tongue. That begins with our speech. That's why the power of words sets us on that path where we go. And just read you something else and we'll get over, because it won't take us no time at all to run through that in Proverbs. I didn't mark this, but just as a reminder, it's good for me to remember this. Let me see here. This is over in James. Don't turn there, because again, we're going to go over to Proverbs. It says, let's see if I can find it. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter of a little fire kindleth. We've already seen that sometimes the words that we say also reflect what may be on our heart at the time as well. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members. That defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So even James, he was warning the early church about the tongue and things that are said. And you say, well, wait a second, that, you know, we need to control that and we never say anything bad. No, what I'm trying to say is, at least in my case, maybe not yours, I need to try to limit what I say that's not, bitterness or something I may say that's unkind. That's not to say that we don't say things like, I mean, we're human. And we're going to be that way. And maybe you go through life and you've never said anything unkind to someone, but I would say that that's far and few between, because it's human nature sometimes. Catch us at the wrong time. You know, I've mentioned before, somebody pulls out in front of you in traffic, and maybe you don't say things that are kind. Somebody gets you mad at work. But again, it seems like it's more on family that we take it out. It's like we let our guard down. As soon as you walk into the door of the home, it's like a cloak disappears. And we sometimes tend to be a little more, speak our mind, so to speak. But thankfully, our family love us. And they allow that to bounce off of them and to move on. And same way here at church, you got spiritual, the Spirit, Holy Spirit's what I'm going to say, living in us. And as things were said, sometimes we realize that, oh, it's a stressful week, it's vacation Bible school week, or they've had a stressful week, their mother's been in the hospital, or their father's been sick, or whatever it's been, or they've lost their job, or, you know, you realize there's things that are said, and you let those things pass because you love them. And love is the bottom line. And, you know, as we look at the heart, we talked about things that come out of the heart sometimes proceedeth out of the mouth. But I think about the heart, too, as a symbol of love. And if you have the love of Christ in your heart, you'll not only watch and try to protect the things you say. And again, we're only human. We're not perfect. Not that we shouldn't strive for that, but we're not. But that we also love others. And we kind of, I hate to say, but we let things go, but we do. It's things that are said because we do. All right, I'm going to look at my time. I just got a few minutes, but it takes just a second to go through these. Actually, I jotted them down here. I flipped. I was thinking, now, am I going to remember every one of them? Then I remembered I went through. So Proverbs, and I'll go through and read these, and you don't have to go with me, or you can. I'll just tell you where they're at, and we'll look at each one. But this first one we'll look at is words can destroy a friendship. So be careful what you say as far as you discuss as friends. You know, I always like Solomon. You know, I always try to look in Ecclesiastes a lot and Proverbs. But remember, Proverbs is just my opinion. And from studying and from what I've read about Solomon and his age at this time, young ruler, wanted to give good advice to his people of Israel, to the Jews, the Israelites, to say, okay, here's some good daily things to live by. And that's kind of how I look at Proverbs. And it's good, you know, just good wisdom, good tips, so to speak. And they're applicable to everybody. And so he kind of passed these along. He was a young man, Dan. I say young. I don't know his age exactly, but from what you read and study, it was early in his ruling. And so chapter 11, verse number 9, says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. In other words, words can destroy a friendship, but wisdom in your speak is received by the godly. And they stop and listen more than they speak. Okay, moving right along. In the same chapter, verse number 12, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Study that out, means holdeth his tongue. You know, my dad was really quiet. I know it's hard for you to believe. You'd say, well, it must have been your mom that talked a lot, and it was. And usually you can pick that out, you know, mom or dad one. But my dad's really quiet, same as my brother is. He's quiet and didn't say a lot, and unless he gets around us, you know, around family, then he'll speak right up. That's kind of how my dad was. And, you know, I tell you, my brother all the time is like a Jerry Clower number two. I wish I could get him to speak and talk to you guys. He's the funniest, one of the funniest guys I've ever met. And he has these just crazy things happen to him. And but this way he tells those stories, it just keeps us rolling in stitches. The kids love seeing him. When he's coming, they usually don't plan anything. They want to hear what he's been doing. And you think about that, he holds his tongue more than I do. Even growing up, he and I would talk about that. He'd say, oh, you've got us in trouble again. I told you about our episode on the school bus, you know, how we got, you know, suspended, couldn't ride the bus for a week. Well, see, I'm the one that got he and I into that. Now, he jumped right in there and helped me out, you know, but he's my brother. But, see, I'm the one that started all that trouble. And he still reminds me of that, and he'll remind me of other situations. Oh, if you'd just stayed quiet, we wouldn't have gotten in trouble. You know, I'm the one that got, and that's right. And so I think about that as I read that. If that's that way in our life as well, too, the fool opens his mouth, and the wise knows when to stay quiet. Let's move on as we go through those. There's two right there already. Let's see. I think verse number 17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but who that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Those are with cruel words. You do more harm to yourself than you do others when you're cruel to someone else, maybe in words that you say or in your speech. We'll move on. Proverbs 15. You've heard this one, verse number 1. We've heard this mentioned several times. Actually, I even try to share this with my kids and try to keep in my own mind, even at work or with the family. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A grievous word stir up anger. In other words, it's better to answer softly than it is to try to grievous words to try to get in an argument. Or I guess, and you've ever been around anybody that way or see that happen? It's been several years ago, but I was, I guess, a witness to a car accident. Nobody was hurt or anything, but, you know, somebody bumped into somebody else. But it was an argument of who had to ride away and who pulled out. And I remember one fellow, hey, well, he's really arguing and fussing, pointing his finger and this, that, and the other. And I remember the police officer, I thought, boy, he's really going to get him. And he was just as calm. He said, "Well, now, sir," said, "just settle down. Now, let's hear this again. Now, what happened?" And he separated the two people, you know, and with kind words and soft-spoken words, he got them calmed down and got to the bottom of the matter, so to speak. And a few of us said, "Well, you know," he said, "is this what you saw?" "Yes, what we saw." And that was it. He let us go on. But I'll never forget that. Rather than getting, fired up himself, he stayed calm and those soft words, and everybody else calmed down as well. So keep that in mind, and you've heard that before. 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. In other words, gentle words bring life and good health. You know, just last week, and I meant to share this with you this morning, we get these things called poems, P-O-E-M-S. They're capital letter POE. I forget exactly what they mean, but they're like new medical updates that we get, and they tell you, you know, percentages or things they find that they think's new. And anyway, one came out last week, said that, you know what, laughter does the heart good. They said laughter is one of the best things you can do. So they're talking about heart failure and people with heart problems and high blood pressures. And I said, I thought the Bible told them merry heart doeth good like medicine. But then this last week, we've studied it, 10,000 people or however many it was, and we found out laughter is good for the soul, good for the heart. They didn't say soul, they said the heart. And this is another one of those, as you look at it, gentle words bring life and health, but a deceitful tongue will crush your spirit. So it takes, again, its toll on you as much as it does the other person if you're not cautious. Proverbs 16, we'll move right on. I'll get right out of the way. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Think about that. So words you say in kindness, look how much, not only it helps you, but it helps somebody else. As we're going over here to 18:4, Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. And as we look here, and as I made a note here, it says, it means it's refreshing. It's refreshing. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. It's refreshing to you, refreshing to others, refreshing to everybody around you. You ever been around anybody that just smiles and got kind words to say, kind things to say about anybody, everybody? It's refreshing, isn't it? It's kind of like a cool breeze on a hot day. You think about that. 18:20, not the year, but chapter 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The right words and the right conversation bringeth forth satisfaction. It's gone. We've got two more left. Proverbs 20, verse 15, I believe it was. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are as precious as a jewel. Wise speech is rare. Hard to find, but it's as precious as rubies when you find it. So that lends to where we said earlier, we're not perfect. We're still striving to be that way, but we won't get that way, but we're still striving to be that way in our speech. And last but not least, I think there was one over here in chapter 25, and we're done. They're out there, they'll be looking for us, and they'll be wanting us to get out. A man that heareth false witness, that beareth false witness against his neighbor, is a maul. In other words, like an axe and a sword and a sharp arrow. In other words, bearing false witness or saying something against your neighbor that is not right, you might as well take an axe, or here it says a maul, a sword or an arrow. You do just as much damage with those as you do with speaking falsely against your neighbor. All right, that's it this morning, the power of words. So if you've got anybody sitting around you with a computer or a phone, and they're typing down everything you say or taking notes, watch it. But you never know. A lot of people, they just listen and file it away. And so, all right, you got time to visit this morning. Thanks for your attention.